WSHU delivers trusted news reporting that keeps you accurately informed and uplifting music that delights and surprises you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Randy Kaye, All Things Considered host on WSHU. It's your financial support that gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thanks for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. A Supreme Court ruling clears the way for Connecticut coastal cities to plan for disasters. Governor Hochul touts New York's free school meals program. Could this be the year New York bans the harvest of horseshoe crabs? Plus, after two abuse cases, Connecticut is rethinking how it tracks homeschooled kids. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut's coastal cities can move ahead with disaster preparedness plans after the Supreme Court rejected the Trump administration's FEMA cutbacks, WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
Bridgeport and New Haven both had multi-million dollar federal grants approved by Congress to help with coastal resiliency. Bridgeport was getting $42 million to address flooding and storm surges in the city's south end, frequently hit by storms. New Haven was getting $25 million, and Stamford was getting nearly $1 million for its seawall. The Trump administration had tried to shut down FEMA's disaster mitigation arm. The Supreme Court ruled they had no right to withhold funds approved by Congress. Connecticut and New York were among 20 states that sued over the move. State Attorney General William Tong called it an attempt by the administration to hijack tax dollars. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Students across New York State have eaten more than 150 million free school meals this year. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vilkind reports.
Governor Kathy Hochul says a school meals program is helping kids focus in class. Democrat toured the lunchroom at Maple West Elementary School near Buffalo. Both breakfast and lunch are available here at no cost. Hochul pushed for the program. She says it saves parents money and time.
The typical family has to spend $1,600 per year per child to cover either the groceries for making the breakfast and lunches or to cover the cost in school. Also gives you time back. This is time back for busy parents.
The state spends $340 million a year on the free meals program. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vilkind for the New York Public News Network.
A major water break in Waterbury left nearly 100,000 people without water this weekend. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
Officials say a 10-inch century-old water line failed and caused a transmission main to explode late Friday night. It left most households in the city, as well as in Woolkit and Watertown, without water. Mayor Paul Pernarewski says they were able to get in the hole where the water main broke on Sunday morning.
It was a large failure. The pipe, as we had indicated, was washed out underneath and has collapsed. It is actually more significant than we had initially thought it was going to be. So it's going to take some, you know, an effort to get that fixed.
The city began distributing water bottles on Sunday. They plan to do so until the system is back online. The city canceled school on Monday, and Pernarewski says they won't reopen until water service is restored. Restaurants were also ordered to close. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
After two alarming cases of abuse, Connecticut lawmakers are asking who's watching over homeschooled kids. A conversation on that is coming up.
Vocal support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
We have a special lineup of programs for you this holiday season with songs, carols, and stories for Christmas, including annual favorites like A Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols and David Bouchier's A Victorian Christmas. We also have music and stories for Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and music that welcomes the winter season. There is something for everyone. You can find the full schedule at WSHU.org.
Suffolk County's first snowfall of the year led to about 200 car crashes, according to police. Two fatal crashes were also reported in Nassau County. Planned Parenthood of Southern New England is seeking funding from Connecticut to mitigate the $13 million it lost in federal funding. They're seeking relief from the state's $500 million emergency relief fund passed in the special session to help offset federal budget cuts. The Village of Greenport is going against the trend on the East End to ban short-term rentals. Trustees voted to remove any minimum stay at a house as long as the owner lived there for at least part of the year. It previously had a 2-week minimum stay. The year's winding down in Albany, and that means it's time for Governor Hochul to sign or veto hundreds of bills. One of them has crossed her desk before, the Horseshoe Crab Protection Act. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
The bill would make it illegal to remove the animals from New York State waterways. The fishing industry uses horseshoe crabs for bait, and the medical community uses their blood for research. Supporters say the crabs have been over-harvested, and they play a critical role in the ecosystem, especially estuaries like the Long Island Sound. But Hochul vetoed a similar bill last year, saying the crabs are better managed by the State Department of Environmental Conservation. The governor has until the end of the year to act on the bill. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Molly Ingram, in for Ebong Udama. The number of Connecticut kids being homeschooled has risen since the COVID-19 pandemic.
It was fascinating to hear these parents talk about both the struggles they'd had with their own school districts and the frustrations of the pandemic, but just how much they felt like they were part of a community.
That's Amelia Ott, the Connecticut Mirror's justice reporter. She's looked into what the state is doing to regulate homeschooling following two highly publicized tragedies. Hi, Amelia. Why has homeschooling been such a hot topic in Connecticut this year?
It started out with an incident that became national news around a man in Waterbury who had been held captive essentially for two decades after he was withdrawn from public school. This incident raised a lot of attention, not only in the media, but in the state legislature, and it kicked off a conversation about the regulations, or really lack thereof, in Connecticut, and whether the state should do something to change that.
And that was one of two stories. There was also another really upsetting story out of New Britain about a little girl. What was the response to those situations from state oversight organizations like the Office of the Child Advocate?
The Office of the Child Advocate really has been pushing for more regulation with regard to homeschooling. And this has not started just with the case in Waterbury. Back in 2017, the Office of the Child Advocate was also pushing for more homeschool regulation after a different case of a young man who was killed. And the Office of the Child Advocate really has been pushing to get some regulations into place around homeschooling.
Can you talk about some of the recommendations that they made?
Yes. So toward the end of last legislative session in May, after the Waterbury incident had hit all of the national media, the child advocates started drawing up some recommendations. Those really included that the state would require homeschool parents to inform their local school districts each year that they're homeschooling, and that the children would receive some kind of an academic evaluation every year. She also recommended that if a family was seeking to withdraw a child from homeschooling, the local school district should review the records of any family seeking to withdraw to see if there were any past reports of abuse or neglect, and then if there was sufficient concern to inform DCF.
And the response to those recommendations from the families that were homeschooling haven't been good. What do those look like?
The homeschooling community has really largely insisted that these cases, both the case of the Waterbury man and the girl who died, Jacqueline Mimi Torres, the response has been that the homeschooling community has said that these cases have nothing to do with homeschooling, that they were cases of these young people being withdrawn from public school, that the public schools were well aware of concerns with these families, and that DCF really should have done more. That is their perspective.
You mentioned in your story that it's difficult to know how many people in Connecticut are being homeschooled, but that there definitely has been a jump. Can you talk a little bit about the numbers that we do know?
Because Connecticut is one of the states that does not require homeschoolers to inform their local districts that they're homeschooling, we don't have an accurate count. Connecticut is certainly not alone in that. There are, I want to say, 12 states that don't have any requirements for notification. Most of the data that we do have, I was able to get from the Institute for Educational Policy at Johns Hopkins, and they got it from, I believe, census data. So we do know that there's, and there's also state data that says that in 2023-24, just over 1,800 children were reported as being homeschooled to SDE, State Department of Education.
So you spoke to some of these families that have come into homeschooling, many of them after the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you talk about some of their stories?
Sure. So I went to a co-op in Stamford that formed after the pandemic had hit, and many of these families had withdrawn their children for a number of reasons. A lot of them, it was just like watching these children struggle with Zoom. And this co-op formed in, I want to say, after the 2021-2022 school year ended. And basically, they get together a couple days a week, and the kids have these little classes that are taught by the parents based on the parents' interest or the parents' expertise. And it's a really interesting place. I saw children learning carpentry. I saw children doing work with clay. Some kids were like using tinfoil and paper towel rolls and stuff to kind of create a play after reading the book Bridge to Terabithia. But it was just a really vibrant place. And I think it's a way of homeschooling that a lot of people don't think about. We have these pictures of homeschooling as like sitting at your kitchen table doing math problems with your siblings. And that's not what it always looks like. It was an interesting experience for me because I didn't know that much about homeschooling in general. But it was fascinating to hear these parents talk about both the struggles they'd had with their own school districts and the frustrations of the pandemic, but just how much they felt like they were part of a community. And they really loved being able to be part of this. So it was a learning experience for me, certainly.
So where do we stand now with the legislature? Legislation to deal with this didn't pass this session. Do you think it'll be brought back in 2026?
I would anticipate that it would. Lawmakers who I spoke to did not. They said that there had been discussions going on, but stopped short of telling me whether there was any actual bill language or what specific policies had been discussed at this point.
All very interesting. Thank you so much, Amelia. Amelia Ott is the Connecticut Mirror's justice reporter. Long story short, comes from WSHU Public Radio and the Connecticut Mirror. Subscribe to the podcast to hear more about homeschooling in Connecticut, available wherever you get your podcasts. You can read the stories we feature at ctmirror.org or wshu.org. I'm Molly Ingram, in for Ebong Udama.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or take us with you wherever you go with the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And for even more from us, join us over on Instagram. We would love to connect with you there. We're at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. A very happy Hanukkah to all those celebrating. Have a great rest of your evening, and we'll talk tomorrow.